We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. No White Spike and Fritz today. Bros and Marcus Hayes with you. We are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. There is still time to book your fantasy football party at Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpete's.com. Marcus, it looks a lot different now than it did when we first got here. People are starting to flood. We got beers going. We got food going. We got Phillies baseball. People in the jerseys. It's popping here.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you. People are in love with the Phillies, unlike yourself.
Hey, I do love
these
them.
These are positive people.
Well, I don't know about
they are not
that.
Broken,
I saw a few people say, bro, you're a genius. And I said, thank you. Enjoy your food.
Well, those ones have been figments of your imagination. No. I'm sitting right next to you. I didn't see those
Well,
people.
You went to the bathroom.
I did.
You missed.
I wasn't in
you
there
missed.
That
No, you were in there pretty long. You were in there pretty long. where are we? I don't know. That joke threw me off. 215-592-9494. How do you feel about the Phillies? Because I am, unfortunately, Marcus was correct. I am emotionally broken, and there's just something wrong with me. I don't know what to tell you. I watch my baseball team lose, and then I don't know how to operate for a couple of days. Even if my team gets Kyle Schwarber rocking four home runs in a night, there's just so much to do to win me back. And I will admit, I am a flawed person. But it seems right now it's about 50-50 split with our callers and on our Twitter poll as well. And we would love to hear from you at 215-592-9494. Before we get to the lineup, I want you guys to take a listen to this audio. This was Rob Thompson before yesterday's game talking about, you know, just the approach of the guys and them wanting to win and the way they go after it. Here's Rob Thompson.
Bryce mentioned a sense of urgency yesterday. Like, how do you keep, when you're a team that's been to the playoffs a few years in a row, you have a lot of veteran guys, you're in playoff position now, how do you keep that urgency through the final few weeks of the regular season?
Well, I don't know if you have to keep it, really. I mean, these guys want to win, and they want to perform, and they want to win a world championship. That's what they play for. And a lot of these guys, they haven't done that yet. You know, even though they've been paid a great deal of money, they haven't won. So that's on their mind, and they want to get it done.
So the urgency is there. They want to get this thing done. They are wired to do it. Then why'd you lay an egg against the Mets? Why did it have to look that way?
Well, you know, I will say, you know, I've been doing this job for a long time. And, again, one of the reasons I like going to this clubhouse is because there's a real sense of accountability and responsibility when they fail. Like, the last two seasons, actually the last three seasons, Bryce Harper will have his, you know, end-of-season press conference. He'll dress and he'll talk about it reflectively, knowing that that's, you know, the last loss. You know, after, you know, the loss in Houston, loss in the loss at home against Arizona, and the loss in New York. And each time, he was really angry. Like, he was so angry, he didn't talk to his teammates. Like, he just did not. He said goodbye, but the other guys are sort of palling around, sitting in their, you know, uniforms, taking their time, whatever. Bryce Harper got dressed, made himself presentable, talked to the press until it was over. You know, impromptu, didn't go to the podium. He just, okay, I'm a locker, or wherever you need me to be, I'll be. He answered every question, turned on his heel and left. And that's, you know, if people want to understand what Rob's talking about, that's what he's talking about. This is the highest paid player in the history of the team who's genuinely angry that they lost, how they lost, and how he performed, which is remarkable because only Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig have been statistically as productive in the playoffs in history.
His playoff numbers
more
are
than
out of
Bryce
this
Harper. So, and he's but he's upset with himself. He's not upset just that other guys didn't produce. He's not upset that they lost. He's upset that he didn't do every single thing he could do. And you know, I believe a lot of what Rice does is for effect. I believe he panders to the town. He panders to fans. He panders to kids, which is wonderful. You know, with the Fanatic stuff and the, you know, the themes and the headband.
He missed the mark on the rivalry pack.
It's all right. You know,
he took a big swing and a miss on the rivalry pack.
Nobody's perfect. You know, he's got a shoe company to appease as well, right? You know, what are we talking about?
The rivalry pack.
Exactly. But that said, he's one of the few guys, and there are plenty of guys in this town right now who are playing for a paycheck and not a trophy. Okay? So he really does care when they play badly and when they lose, and he's accountable for it. Not just, like, not just lip service, but he puts himself out there and he's accountable for it. And he takes that off Schwarber, and he takes that off Wheeler, and he took it off Rhys Hoskins when Rhys was here. He's the guy that's accountable for it. And this is not like, look at how great Bryce Harper is as a human being. This is really what Rob Thompson's talking about. The best player of this generation, best hitter of this generation as a Philly, the highest paid player in team history, does want to win.
The urgency's there. No, I don't think that Rob Thompson is wrong, if that's his assessment, and you're probably close to the mark there on that. But we need to somehow find a way for it all to marry and blend together with the other.
And you know who else wanted to win? Derek Jeter and A-Rod. And guess where Rob Thompson was before here?
The Yankees.
He was with Derek Jeter and A-Rod. So that's the kind of, you know, they didn't win as much as they should have. You know? They didn't win as much as they should have, but they wanted to win, and he understands. That's one of the reasons Rob Thompson is such a good fit here. As tough as it is to be the Phillies manager when the Phillies are talented and failing, it's much, much tougher to be a Yankee when your team is overpaid and underperformed.
It's funny you bring up the Yankees thing, though, and maybe how much they should have won, and we can relate it to 08 because we thought after that there probably should have been more championships, especially with the talent of the starting rotation.
Yeah,
right?
There would have been, except for the Yankees.
I know. So someone brought this up to me a few weeks back, where everyone brings up the fact that it's a World Series appearance, and it's an NLCS, and it's an NLDS, and it's following the similar trend that happened. But the difference in last run in 08 and all, you won the championship and then you started to fall and go in the wrong direction. How much does the viewing experience, maybe not the viewing experience, how much does the takeaway change if they go backwards, starting with the World Series loss, NLCS loss, NLDS loss, but it ends up with the championship last? Does that get viewed differently? Oh, they should have got more?
You mean the previous generation?
Yeah, like the previous generation we look at is they should have had more. But with this group, if they do squeeze one out at the end and they went backwards and then won and finished with the championship, do we feel differently about the core and these years as Phillies baseball? Does that make sense,
It does. Okay. I understand what your question is, but I don't think it really matters whether you win in an era – whether win it all at the beginning, and they didn't win it all at the beginning. They won. They went to the playoffs and lost.
And lost.
Then
first.
Won the World Series. So yeah. They were kind of expected to be pretty good. Not that good, but they were kind of expected.
And
to be
pretty
good.
And the way it happened in 07 was pretty out of this world too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but this Phillies team, you know, they kind of snuck in the first year. They were a wild card team the first 2 years. So you know they're building regular season collateral and losing postseason equity, right? Which is crazy. But my point is, if they're 10 years from now, and we're, 15 years removed from 2008, 13 years removed.
Give or take. Not math, guys.
Right.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Let's see, 17 years removed, right, from 2008. We look at that era as a golden era. And, it's too bad they didn't get back, even though they got better in the regular season and worse in the playoffs. We look at that as a golden era. That's the golden era of the Phillies. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
So there is no – and I believe if they go to the playoffs 4 years in a row, or 5 years in a row, or 4 out of 5 years, say they don't make it this year or something, and they go back next year and win a World Series, this will be another golden era. And all the stuff, all the minutiae that we're talking about now,
quiets out.
You know, quiets out. I believe people will always remember the two losses against Arizona, but I don't think they're going to remember what happened against the Mets last year the way they feel about Arizona. Because in Arizona, you were 2 wins away from going to back-to-back World Series and being favored in the World Series.
I agree with you. Now, here's this positive spin. You ready for this? I got a positive spin. No, you are. You are ready for this. Here's the one thing that can convince me there's a chance that the team rides a high and gets it done. You just mentioned it. In 22, they snuck in, and it just happened. In 23, they didn't win the division. I remember not enjoying them throughout a lot of the regular season. I just remember I couldn't stand them. I hated the way they played, this and that. And then Xfinity Live in October, the boys are there drinking cold ones and celebrating with the fans, and then we enjoyed a really awesome couple of weeks, right? Are we lined up for another one of those where I lose my mind 6 times after a series like what just went down with Queens and all that, and then the playoffs start and they just know how to do it again like they did in 22.
So Garrett Stubbs isn't in the clubhouse this year. I don't know that that's a seismic shift in, I don't know, aura. Is that what the kids call it?
That's right. That's a good pull by you.
So
you have 3 daughters. They probably get aura on
you. They don't talk kid when we're around.
Okay.
Like they talk, you know, you think you have like you're listening to the ABC nightly news or something. They are not cool around us. So I will say this, it's been a different vibe after wins, it's been a different vibe in spring training, it's been a different vibe the whole year. I don't know if it has anything to do with Stubbs. I think it has more to do with 2 years of disappointment and a real urgency. You know, it's not only a contract year for Schwarber, it's a contract year for JT. Those are the two biggest personalities in the clubhouse. You know, JT deals with the catchers and the pitchers. Schwarber deals with, like, the position players, and Bryce Harper's a star.
What about Ranger? Does he have any personality? Because people talk about him like he is, but maybe not.
He's
to
relevant.
Level. He's right. Relevant. Okay, right. That's fair to put
yes.
it. Yeah.
But he's also kind of goofy, you know?
Yeah.
He's not irrelevant, but he's not a guy you're going to look to, like, set the thermostat. Right?
Okay.
So, that said, you've got this sort of, like, seriousness. And this tangent I'm going off is off your tangent, talking about celebrating Xfinity Live and the crazy celebrations they've had postseason every time they made the playoffs, won a series, yada, yada, yada. I don't know that that happens this year. I don't know that anybody's going to be partying at Xfinity Live when they clinch or when they win if they win the wild card series, if that's their, you know, they don't get the
all
bye,
business.
Right?
All business.
All business.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see if that is sort of how, and whether or not that makes a difference, because I would contend that the sort of looseness in the clubhouse over the last 3 years has been a benefit to them.
1,000%. I agree with you. I actually think that's why they play tight.
Or has it?
Because it was there
and they failed.
Yeah, but I don't think they do well when tight. Because I think what happens when tight, you lose 13-3 in game one against the Mets. You don't want me to relive game two and game three.
Right, but they've been tight and they got a 5-game lead.
Well, they better watch because the Mets come to town for 4. You might slip away to 1.
Well, four with the Mets and 3 with the Brewers over the next, 4 weeks?
That's big for my sports health.
There you go.
Very big for my sports health. Let's go to Sam in Delaware. What's going on, Sam?
How's it going, y'all? I just had something real quick I wanted to say, which is I'm concerned that it's mental with these guys because the talent is there. We see it. We saw it last night. They blew us out of the water. But then you got series like in New York, and, you know, it's just they're freezing up. We know that they're capable, but I really think it's mental. We see them swinging at stuff that when they're on, they're not swinging at those types of balls. There's no mental buy-in from what I'm seeing in games like what we saw them in New York.
So you agree with Brody then?
I was just going to say, is that just against the Mets, or do you mean overall they're not?
I think just in general, when they're not performing, it's not because they can't. It's because there's some type of mental block happening with half of the lineup where they're just playing out. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but I really think that it comes down to mental. It's nothing to do with what anybody's capable of, for sure. We know that much.
What do you think the fix is? Do you think it's just something they have to deal with or get over? Is there a solution?
I don't know. I think in some ways, some of it, I think for some of them is ego. I love Bryce Harper, but I don't think he can stand when someone else in the lineup is doing better than he is, to be honest. I think, it is
Bryce catching strays.
We went from MP3 to people chanting MVP for Schwarber going up to bat. You know, that's got to hurt a guy with a big ego. I love the guy. But
Sam, that's a take.
I don't know. I think that a lot of ways it's mental and that they need to find a way to get over it. I don't know if it's they don't feel the joy sometimes. I don't know what it is because the joy's there when they're at home, right? Because they got the fans behind them. I don't know if they're not having fun. I don't know if they just aren't focused. I don't know what it is, but I think it's mental. I don't think there's any point in debating the level of talent because we know that they can hit the ball. They can do what they got to do. Because, I mean, look at the turnaround from, you know, New York to they come home, and it's like there's no competition with Milwaukee. So, I don't know. I think they got to get their heads on straight if we want to see them go deep into October. That's all
right.
I got.
Sam, thank you. How
coming
about
in,
that?
She started out with a little 22, and then she turned around and hit you with a bazooka.
Here's a plot twist. The rivalry pack wasn't about the Mets. It was about Kyle Schwarber. Yeah. This guy's going toe-to-toe with Schwarbs and needs to do better. I appreciate Sam's passion. I think she's on to something about the mental stuff. But I do think Bryce is probably okay with Kyle Schwarber having a season like this because it puts them closer to the ultimate goal.
Well, not only that.
I do find the take interesting.
Bryce is a different guy than he was a few years ago because things have transpired. He's won an MVP. And Rhys Hoskins is gone. Now, when Bryce came here, Rhys Hoskins was the best player on the team. And Bryce loved that. So that, to me, is evidence that he wants to be surrounded by other great players. He doesn't need to be the greatest player on the team. But, you know, maybe there's something in Bryce that Bryce isn't aware of. Bryce has never given me any inkling that he's anything but desperate to have the best players on his team he can have. And the thing that refutes Sam's argument is that Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, and Nick Castellanos are on, and JT Realmuto are on this team because Bryce insisted that they come.
Yep.
And Trey, you know, we had MVP talk when Trey got signed. You know? And, you know, JT, best catcher in baseball. These are guys that are going to take shine from Bryce if Bryce doesn't do well. And, you know, in Bryce's defense, and I tease Bryce in print and sometimes in person about being the de facto GM. Without these guys, not only are they not where they are, they don't maintain relevance when Bryce is hurt. And Bryce has been hurt a lot.
That's a good point. No, you're right, though, because I was literally reading your mind. I was about to say, ooh, a lot of these guys are – that's scary. That's scary, us being on the same wavelength. But when Bryce is the reason why a lot of these guys are here,
right.
I think he's okay with these guys. But I will say I do appreciate the curveball.
You know, it's funny, too, because the best part about it was she was like, I'm tiptoeing into the water, and then I'm going to dive in from 80 feet high.
She needed to do the feel-out process. Get the toes wet, then you start the ankles wet, you know, going in the ocean. So here's the line, all right? The lineup is with Elder is on the bump for the Braves, so they've got a right-hander. You got Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Harper. Batting cleanup, Alec Boehm. Batting fifth, Marsh. Castellanos sixth. Kepler's in the lineup as well. So Marsh, Casty, and Kepler on the lineup. JT is not. So Marshawn is behind the dish. And Bryson Stott bats eighth. So I just find it interesting. No Bader today. You got a righty on the bump for the Braves. And Boehm batting cleanup. We'll see what that means. 215-592-9494. That is the phone number. Coming up next, we do have the greatest segment in radio history, Top 5 at 5. Can't wait to see what Buzz has for us. We are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. It's Broads. It's Marcus Hayes in for the afternoon show on 94 WIP.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.